Thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox right here on the DSJMP network. Squabblebox with myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, is a live, interactive debate show that airs on Siren FM every Friday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. You'll hear throughout the show that we like to take your opinions and views on different topics. When listening live, you can contact us by going to @SirenFM and the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk. However, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week, you can do by going to our own Twitter @Squabblebox, our email squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk, or our Facebook fan page, you guessed it, Squabblebox. For legal reasons, the music that airs live on the show has had to be edited out of the podcast. Please get in touch. We love hearing from you, and we hope you enjoy the show. Angels to fly, 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 for angels to fly. That's to fly, Ed Sheeran with fly. The A-Team. You have been listening to another brilliant episode of Behind the Headlines, their final one of this term. It's been fantastic for us to listen to the final sort of half an hour of their show every Friday whilst we have been waiting in the offices, waiting to come here on Siren FM. So thank you guys for everything that you've done for the past year. But now, we are Squabblebox. It's 11 a.m. We're going to be with you until around 1 p.m. today, and we have a huge show for you. First up, our main topic this week is the good old days. We're going to be looking at how different generations passed the time when they were young. So that's what we want you to let us know. How did you pass the time when you were young? What were some of your favourite things to do in your childhood? You can get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. And also, Maisie, if that wasn't enough, just after 12 o'clock, we have some brilliant guests coming on the show from the Lincoln Young Company talking about their performance of Simon Armitage's Eclipse. I'm really, really looking forward to that.
You haven't written an intro today, have you?
I haven't written an intro today, Maisie. I just thought, I'll blag it, it'll be fine.
No, nope. The preparation is key.
So, everyone, get in touch with us. Like I say, let us know about the good old days. But first, Maisie, I think you need to introduce this one, because this is all you're doing.
Yes, can you believe that? Game of Thrones has returned to our television boxes. I'm so happy. Now, we won't dwell on it for too long, mainly because only half of Squabblebox even knows what Game of Thrones is.
Yes, yeah.
Basically, for those who don't know, Game of Thrones, the popular book series, which has for a long time been portrayed as a TV series on HBO, and for those on in the UK, it's on Sky.
Yes.
It has now started its sixth season, starting last Monday, and a lot of people are very excited, although there's no spoilers, although there's very little to spoil, because with it being the first episode back, there wasn't so much anything new being told as much as some loose ends being explained.
Yes. Now, I'm going to make a statement that I'm expecting a big riot to start outside of the MHT building and the Siren Studios here at the University of Lincoln, and that is, I have never seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
That isn't actually true. You haven't seen a full episode of Game of Thrones, but you have seen clips of it.
Yeah, I passed through the living room when you and Jack are watching it, and I just,
It's not for everyone. I think you need to be able to withstand an awful lot of gory stuff.
Yes.
especially if you want to watch the first few seasons. But, Game of Thrones is something that's talked about a lot, especially on social media, and it can be a really big place of debate, because a lot of the storylines can make people either uncomfortable, or a lot of the time they can be really confusing. A lot of people try to pick apart and create theories about what's going to happen next and so on and so forth. And it's something that that I really enjoy personally, mainly because it's got such an interesting storyline. But from a sort of industry point of view, it's a very interesting show, because it started as a book narrative,
yes,
which was then adapted to TV. But it's gotten to the point where the TV series is surpassing the book series, because the book series hasn't finished yet either. So it got to the point where they sort of evened out, where what was happening in the most recent episode was happening in the most recent book, and now it's actually lapped.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, because normally it's always the other way around.
Now, you see, I personally, you know me, Maisie, I like to do my research before I come on the show.
Oh, yes, you do.
I might not seem prepared today after that horrendous intro. However, I did do some research on Game of Thrones.
This morning, before we left.
Yes, I watched my first ever official Game of Thrones video on YouTube.
Is it an official?
Yes, it was
video, done by the cast. Yeah,
and it was done by the cast, and they explained the whole plot of the, I think it was the first four seasons.
Okay.
So you're
already two seasons behind.
In 30 seconds.
And I think the plot is pretty easy to get hold of, or even though it's like it's several different plots all happening at once.
Yeah.
But the thing that I then pointed out to you, the first thing I said when you came back from watching that video this morning was, okay, who's Jon Snow's mother?
Yeah, and I went, well, I know that the things that I learned from that video that I can remember, I only watched it once and it was 30 seconds long. The first thing is, dragons are hatched.
Yes, there are dragons.
Yep. And then Maisie Williams was in it and she just kept going, blood... gore, revenge.
Yep.
Blood, gore, revenge.
That's pretty much her character's storyline, is blood, gore, revenge.
Yep. But I just don't see the appeal in it. I really don't. Mind you, I've always been more of a comedy person.
You have, but there are comedy moments in Game of Thrones. There is a little something for everyone, and I think the main appeal of it, I think, is the fact that it's such a really tight story. There are very few plot holes, if any, and it's just quite thrilling.
Yep.
It sounds really strange, but I think one of the reasons why a lot of people like it is because there are so many characters. It's not following one person's story like most TV shows, especially ones that we see at the moment. They're one person, and then you follow them throughout their entire lives and occasionally go off to see what other characters are doing. In Game of Thrones, there are so many different characters doing so many different things that, okay, so if you don't like one storyline, then it doesn't matter, because 5 minutes later there's another storyline which you are interested in. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of something for everyone, and I think everybody... And it's also the same concept of Harry... You know how everybody has their Harry Potter house?
Yeah.
It's similar with that, because every family has their own crest, they have their own motto and everything like that, which means that everybody sort of attributes themselves to a certain house, depending on what their characteristics are.
Yes.
So I always find that quite interesting.
Yeah, I should probably give it a go, but I've never... All these shows I sort of put in the same category. Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, things that I'm not interested in. That crowd outside is getting bigger, Maisie.
You mean the empty MHT building?
Yeah. Winter is coming!
Do you even know what that means?
Not got a clue. Something to do with snow, I guess. It's been snowing everywhere except for Lincoln today.
That's not what that means!
Does it mean that the basically the bad guys are coming?
No.
Who are the good guys and the bad guys in Game of Thrones?
That's the point. No one really knows. Because the moment someone starts being a good guy, you don't know whether they're going to turn on someone the next minute. It's really weird.
And here's the question, right? And I'm going to just point blank put it out there. Is Jon Snow really dead? Because everyone keeps putting that on, like, stuff, and I see articles about it, and people say no, he's coming back.
Basically,
no,
it's basically
not.
one of the biggest debates at the moment that's surrounding this show is the fact that, and I don't know if it's spoiling it or not, but spoiler alert, even though Kai didn't give one, at the end of season 5, Jon Snow dies,
right,
seemingly, and it's And basically, everybody wasn't... It was kind of left in a cliffhanger where it wasn't... no one was too sure whether who's actually dead. And there are many... And we've already seen in this world that it's possible to be resurrected.
Right.
So it's this whole debate of who's going to resurrect him? Is he actually ever going to be resurrected? And if not, then what's going to happen? Because he seems to be the most primary character.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people like Game of Thrones, is because it's one of those stories that doesn't care about who it kills off. So in most, especially in most sort of thriller, drama sort of things, even if your main protagonist gets sick or gets wounded, you know they're not going to die because they're the main character. Whereas in Game of Thrones, anyone, there's no limits.
It's a weird, weird show. From an outsider who's never seen it, it just seems very...
Well, you've never seen it from the first episode.
No.
I think it's one of those things where, because of the way the narrative works, you have to start at the beginning and then let it sort of entice you that way.
Right. Let's see what our listeners think. Remember, you can get in touch with us at SirenFM on Twitter, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Whether you're on Facebook or Twitter, use the hashtag Squabblebox. We'll keep an eye on that as well. And we want to know, what is your opinion on Game of Thrones? Am I being silly for not wanting to watch it? Try and convince me. Maybe somebody can convince me. I'm not saying that they will, but they might just do that. Also, get in touch with us, and we will be talking more about our buzzword for the day, which is the good old days.
So it's more of a buzz phrase, isn't it?
Buzz phrase, yes.
Yeah, that sounds right. No, it doesn't.
We need to rebrand this section of the show, Maisie. The good old days, we want to know how you used to pass the time in your childhood.
From any generation.
Yep, any generation. We've got loads of different generations getting in touch with this show from all over the world. We've already had international listeners sending us messages already. Keep them coming, guys, and we'll be talking about them more as the show goes on. So, Maisie, what are we heading into?
This is I'm Going Slightly Mad by Queen. We'll be right back.
And the outside temperature rises, and the meaning is of only three wheels these days. But my dear, how about you? I'm going slightly mad.
That was Queen with I'm Going Slightly Mad. I've not heard that one before. Well, I have heard it, but I've not heard it for a long time.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was even on the system.
Yeah, it's one of their lesser-known ones, I'm presuming. Maybe someone who has a bit more music knowledge than I will get in touch and let me know more about it. However, Maisie, we are now talking about the good old days.
Do, 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 do.
For a lot of people, for some of our listeners, Queen will be their memories of their childhood. I'm sure of it.
That was one of your least subtle segues, I have to say.
I'm sure of it, and we'll be playing some of the songs from our childhood as the show goes on as well. So what we want you to do is get in touch with us at SirenFM on Twitter, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page Squabblebox, and let us know what were some of your favourite things to do in your childhood. How did you pass the time? Maisie?
Me?
How did you pass the time in your childhood?
I'd say like, my early childhood, it was an awful lot of running about the garden playing make-believe.
Yeah.
But sort of the older I got, the more it became about technology, things like television, watching films, going on the computer a lot, even though there wasn't really much to do when we were very young kids,
yes.
Like 5 or 6. There was very little to do on the internet, apart from... I think there was, like, one Barbie website.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even... It didn't have any games or anything. Like, when my sister was really little, there was one Barbie website, and it wasn't even a website where you played as Barbie or you could... Or, like, read stories about Barbie. It was just a bunch of different Barbies And it wasn't, like, even a store. It was just someone's collection that they posted online.
The thing is, there's some people, we're saying that, oh, there was barely anything to do on the internet when we were young. And there's some people at home going, yeah, the internet wasn't, like, even thought of when we were young.
Yeah. And it was one of those interesting things where I get kind of annoyed occasionally because I have lecturers at the university who will go, oh, you don't understand what it was like when we were children. We had to go to the library. And I'm in a similar boat of sort of, you seem to be confusing us with a different generation because when we were kids, we were born in 95 and 96, so the internet didn't exist and it wasn't nearly as useful as it was.
The internet existed, the World Wide Web didn't.
The World Wide Web didn't. So it was only until we got into high school, really, that the internet was seen as something that you could use for information purposes, and even then, I don't think I ever used the internet until university to actually do essays.
Really?
Well, no, because the essays we did at A-level were all written on paper. Well, they were all done on paper in exam conditions.
I'm sure... We got taught, like... Obviously, we got taught in primary school how to use the internet and things like that. But, like, in high school, I used it for essays and exam stuff all the time.
See, I stuck with books for a long time.
Now, people, like you say, you've touched on it a little bit, people get mixed up about our generation, we being both, you know, near enough 20. I know I'm still 19, but...
Close enough.
But we get sort of bookended in that generation that have always... They go, you've always had these things.
Oh, yeah, I think I was generally told I've always had... Like, we've always had things like iPads. No, we did have iPods, but iPods were really basic back then. They just played songs, that was all they did.
Yeah.
And that was all that we were ever supposed to do. And
even then, it was, like, late high school.
Yeah. And it was the same. Like, I didn't get my first mobile phone until I was 13. And even then, it didn't do anything. It was just a brick.
I got mine a little bit younger. I think I got mine at about 6 or 7 years old.
Really?
Because it was a hand-me-down from my dad.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a brick thing. And it had a little plastic cover on the front that pulled forward. Which I used to tell people made it a flip phone.
No, it doesn't.
and it had Snake on it, and that's all I cared about. I used it for two things. Snake, which is one of the greatest games ever.
And is never on any phones ever anymore.
Nope.
Makes me very sad.
Yep, Snake, and I used to use it for the stopwatch. So me and my mates could time each other going round the block on our bikes.
Aww. So this is the weird thing, though. Like, we get told a lot that our generation is too dependent on technology. We're too dependent on our phones, on our iPads, on our tablets, on the internet. Whereas I can happily sit in a room by myself without any technology and read books, draw some stuff, doodle, write down ideas that come to me. But then there's my parents.
Yes.
And my parents... I have genuinely sat with them in a room for about an hour where nobody said a word to each other because they were on their phones playing games.
All right.
Or reading. My mum actually uses her phone to read a lot, which is surprising. And it's one of those things where all I wanted to do was take a picture and then screen cap it with this generation and their so-and-so phones.
Yeah.
And I always find it really funny because I can remember going with my mum to get her first phone.
Yeah.
And this was before smartphones were, like, a big thing. iPhones were around, but they were still very expensive and out of anyone's reach.
Yes.
At least in my family, where we bought a phone to call people. Whereas now, my mum and dad have, like, the most sophisticated Android phones you can get. And my dad gets really proud of how good quality his camera is. And I just find it really funny because I think I was the last person in my... I'm the youngest in my family and I was the last one to get a smartphone.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't fussed.
And to be honest, we are from the north of England, so we're probably about 10 years behind everyone else anyway.
Yeah, probably.
But I always look at it as if you can watch... Peter Kay live at the top of the tower, his stand-up tour from 2001, and relate to the stuff that he is talking about, then that means that you are in that generation. I can't relate to everything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the time where people walked around with false dog leads with no dog on the end of them.
Oh, I do remember those, although I didn't have them.
Like, grown men walking around Benidorm with them and stuff. It used to be a massive thing, apparently.
Yeah. There were so many trends that we had as kids that just sort of faded away, like Scoobies.
Oh, Scoobies were. Scoobies.
I think they've been around way longer than we probably think they
then,
have.
And then a similar thing came back. Loom bands.
Oh, yes. Loom bands are a very recent thing. And I avoided them like the plague because they look really messy. Because as soon as you lose one, you lose the whole bag.
You were either the kid that could make the Scoobies or you were the kid that paid your friends 5p to make you a Scooby.
Or you were me. See, this is the thing. My dad sort of collects hobbies. So every time there was a new fad, if me and my sister came home with a new thing that our friends were talking about, so we'd spend our pocket money getting this new thing, like it was like Scoobies or those alien things that you could get in a pod.
Yeah. Oh.
And those sort of things. So me and my sister kept coming home with all these sort of like 2-week-long fads. And my dad would perfect it in a day and then carry on with it for about 4 months. So my dad was the king of Scoobies, to the point where he would make me and my sister ones and he'd put them on little keychains. And I had a, like, the best like double helix Scooby keychain on the back of my backpack. I was walking to college, to school. I was only in primary school. And by the time from my mum dropping me off near the lollipop lady to go a different direction to going to actually getting to my school, someone had ripped it off the back of my bag.
Oh.
I know, I was really disappointed because, like, a double helix Scooby would have been worth, like, 20p.
So let's get into a few of the messages that we've had in already.
Yes, please.
We've had one in from Lynn in Huddersfield who says that she used to love playing elastics. Now, do you know what this is, Maisie?
I feel like I might have called it a different thing.
According to Google, it was also called Chinese jump rope. That's the Wikipedia name.
Okay.
For it, and it was basically where it's like a massive, it's like a big elastic band, giant elastic band that two kids sort of stand in, and they hold it with their legs.
Oh yes, I do know this.
And then the person jumps in between, and I'll put a photo up on our Facebook page.
I know of it, but we didn't play it at my school.
No,
there were very few toys that we were allowed at my school because of health and safety reasons.
Yeah,
because there was always that one kid who ruined it for everyone else.
Yeah,
like we had the weirdest toys in our playground. Actually, we had like these big foam dart things to throw, hula hoops, which were the best.
Yeah.
And there was an awful lot of, like, jump rope was a big thing at my school during the summer, which
sometimes
I couldn't
it was.
Do.
I was awful.
I was awful at it. Not because my coordination was bad, but because I was really short, and they would always do them too high. So I'd get caught on the back of my leg and then start crying because I'd been basically whipped on the back of my leg, and then everyone would laugh at me because I was crying.
Now, there were two things that I can remember from my school of being quite popular. We went through a time where yo-yos became a popular thing because they brought in... I don't know whether they said... Because you went to a local school to near where I am. They brought a yo-yo. People brought a set of yo-yos into the school. Like they were, like, selling them.
Really?
A company came in and showed us loads of yo-yo tricks and things like that in an assembly.
Are they allowed to do that at school?
It was like... And then they sold them to the kids. It was like... And it was trying to get kids into a skill, which, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That it feels a bit weird to have, like, commercial people coming to sell you things at school.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird, but that's what I remember. But I think now, Maisie, we should head into another song.
We should indeed. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.
That was Busted with Year 3000. That's one from my childhood. I remember that being... I had it on CD, and it was... Oh, what album was it? Their very first... It was called Busted.
It was their first album, just called Busted,
and they were sort of stood there as if they were in... They were up against, like, a wall.
They were in a police lineup.
Yeah, police lineup. Yeah, I love that track.
My sister had all of their albums.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So we are talking about the good old days today. We want you to let us know what are some of your favourite memories from being a child and the stuff that you did to pass the time in your childhood. You can get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabble Box. Let us know all the stuff that you did as a child to pass the time. Now, Maisie, there is another thing that we used to, what I used to do at school, and it was like year two that it got banned.
Oh, I think I might know what this is.
It was this toy, right?
Okay. And I think you might have done this before.
It was like a ball on the end of it, and it was like on a gooey elastic thing that you put on your hand and you bounced it up and down.
Do they have names, these things?
I can't remember what they're called. If anyone can...
So it's basically like it's like having a ping pong ball attached to a bat and you sort of hit it up and down.
Yeah, but you sort of wrap the elastic around your finger and you bounce it up and down. It was... If someone can remember what these were called, but they were banned because apparently one kid got it wrapped around his neck.
Oh.
And, health and safety and all that.
I think the weirdest thing that got banned from my school was... sweet necklaces.
Oh, right.
The little, like, chalk sweets that were made to look like little beads, and then they'd be on a string of elastic and you wore them around your neck.
Yes.
They were, like, really cheap sweets. But the reason they got banned, it was because kids, if you bit half of them, because they were on elastic, the other half would go flying off.
So
people were aiming them at each other, and it actually... And people were getting hit in the eye with little bits of sugar, basically. And so many people did it that they actually got banned from school.
Yeah, I think I remember this as well. Maybe we're just very up north. We're very mean to each other.
I think it might be because me and you went to schools that were very close in proximity. We were only a couple miles away from each other, or less than a few miles away from each other.
That is true.
So I think anything that happened at your school probably happened at mine as well.
Yeah. Let's get into a few that we've had sent in. We've got a message in from Becky in Lincoln who said, I had a miniature post office, which I loved playing with, and a Teletubbies Pro Scooter... Po Scooter. when I was really young, I also liked playing on Habbo Hotel.
Habbo wasn't... like, there were many sort of, like, early kids' social medias like that.
I think we were... Because I know Becky is a little bit older than we are, and I think we were too young to go on Habbo Hotel when it was really in its prime. Because it was in its prime for about a year.
Yeah, I had friends all the way up until, like, my late teens that were still on Habbo Hotel and would play it constantly. But I remember playing Club Penguin.
Yeah.
But not with a membership.
Oh, no, no, you never got a membership.
You don't get a membership.
You found a mate there who had a membership,
like,
and used theirs.
Nearly every single kid's channel had their own sort of, like, virtual world.
Yeah.
But, of course, there was a lot of safeguarding issues around it, so it would constantly be telling you, sort of, don't talk to anyone, and they also wouldn't let you... they wouldn't let you type messages. You had to pick from a list of predetermined words to try and make a sentence, which meant that you would, like, no one was ever speaking coherently with each other, which I thought was always really, really funny.
Yeah. Going back to her first thing about a miniature post office, did you have anything like this?
I loved those sort of play sets. A lot of the time I'd make them myself.
Yes.
Like, if I decided I wanted to be a teacher that day, then I would make my own, like, I'd set up my own chalkboard and I'd make my own, like, worksheets for my dolls and stuff.
Yes.
But I did have something similar where I had, and this is going to sound so bad, I had a McDonald's takeout to cashier's checkout.
Okay. I think I might have had something similar.
Yeah, and
on
it was specifically McDonald's.
Yeah.
And it was basically training me for what I'll end up doing for the rest of my life with a media degree. Which I think, but the thing is, it's really ironic because my sister's the one who's currently working at McDonald's.
Oh, that's brilliant. I had, when I was young, and my grandma will attest to this, I had a, because I was a big Postman Pat fan.
Yeah.
And I had a little Postman Pat toy, and a little sort of miniature Postman Pat van that I used to play with all the time. And then I had also, to go along with that, and I don't know how these two worlds collided in my head, but I also had a caravan that opened up. A little toy caravan that opened up, and it was like a Mickey Mouse playset thing.
That sounds really cute. See, that's the thing I really liked when we were kids. There were a lot of toys that were foldable. Like, I had so many Polly Pocket things, and, like, I had a similar thing where it was like a tiny van, but if you pressed the right button on it, it would expand and become, like, this whole cafe.
Yeah.
For Polly Pockets, and it had, like, a little disco game in it and everything, and... The reason, and I remember my dad specifically telling me as a kid, the reason he liked getting Polly Pocket was because it was small enough that no one would harm themselves with it, like choke on it or anything. But like, because my generation of Polly Pockets were the big ones with the real hair.
Yeah, of course.
There have been several Polly Pockets before then that were much smaller. But yeah, these Polly Pockets were just big enough so that they weren't a choking hazard, but also all of the things were easily folded away, so it was teaching me and my sister how to be neat and tidy.
Yeah.
So basically, it was... teaching children how to clean up after themselves properly.
Toys just aren't the same nowadays, are they? These days, toys are just... teach you things.
I think although Barbie are doing something reasonably positive, they're starting to look at doing more diverse shapes and sizes and ethnicities for their dolls.
Oh, yeah, I've read about this.
It's a project they've been working on for a long time, and they only just announced it very recently. And the main reason why they're doing it is because they've had so many people complaining about their products being too unrealistic, which is why they're trying to be more positive for young girls who have different shapes of bodies, have different types of hair, who have are all different heights. And I think it is quite good. I mean, they still have quite a long way to go. They've only just started dipping into this pool.
Yeah.
And the main complaint that people have been putting towards these new dolls is actually the fact that they will no longer have interchangeable clothes.
Oh, right.
So clothes that fit for one doll won't fit for another, even though they're the same brand. Even though that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
So people have been complaining because the clothes won't be interchangeable, but, you know, in real life, clothes aren't interchangeable.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're a different size from your friend, then the clothes are going to look different on you than they do on her. So, I kind of like that toys are starting to become slightly more diverse.
Yeah, definitely. Now remember to keep sending them in at SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk for the email, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Let us know some of your favourite toys. It's time for another song now. Maisie?
We are heading into another one from our childhood. It's Stargirl by McFly.
Hey, I'm looking.
You are listening to Squabblebox. We are Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. It's 11:46. Coming up very soon, just after the news at 12 o'clock, we are going to be joined by the Lincoln Young Company talking about their performance of Simon Armitage's Eclipse coming up very, very soon and the fun that they've been having preparing for that. But we have been talking today about the good old days. And we want you to get in touch. Let us know, what did you do in your childhood to pass the time? It's that simple. Get in touch with us on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Maisie.
Yes.
Shall we go into a few more of the ones that we've had sent in to us?
That sounds like a good plan.
That does sound like a good plan. But first, what was another toy from your childhood?
Oh, there were quite a few.
Not even a toy, something that you did to pass the time.
Something I did to pass the time. I wrote stories a lot as a kid.
Oh, right.
And I, because when I was really little, I wanted to, I always knew that I wanted to tell stories. So when I was very little, I thought about being a novelist.
Yes.
And writing stories. But that ended up becoming more of a television type storytelling thing the older I got.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, I used to write a lot of stories. I used to enter a few, not many, writing competitions.
I never knew this about you.
I used to enter writing competitions at school, and I used to get really annoyed because I found out that a couple of times my teachers didn't pass on the stories to the right people.
No.
Yeah, I once found there was this. I worked for a whole week on this one story, and it was about, the concept was sort of twisted fairy tales.
Yes.
Fairy tales told from a different point of view, or yeah, sort of switching who the bad guy, who the good guy was. So I did that, and I spent ages on it, and it was a story about how Red Riding Hood goes to the Three Bears' house, but it's like many years after Goldilocks, so they have like all the security, and Baby Bear's now a teenager and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was I found out that I didn't win the competition because there was an assembly where all the winners read their stories, because they were short stories.
Yes.
And I obviously, when I didn't get asked to read mine out, I assumed I hadn't won. I then found it a couple weeks later. I found my printed out, because I typed it up. I found the printed out copy that I'd given my teacher on his desk.
Oh no.
Weeks after the winner had been announced.
That's gotta be crushing.
I was really annoyed. But I was too young to sort of think. I was too young to then say directly to the teacher.
Yeah.
Sort of, that's really upset me, so I just told my mum.
Have I ever told you that I am a published poet?
Yes, you have. You don't shut up about it. You told me this so many times.
Yeah,
But since the audience probably don't know, why don't you tell them?
I wrote a poem in year 8, I think, at school, so I was maybe 12 years old, and, like, the ones that they picked the best out of the school. It's a horrendous poem. I'm going to have to find it and bring it in for
next week's episode,
and I'll read it. I will do a live dramatic reading of my of my poem that is published.
Yeah. See,
you know what it's called?
At least your teacher handed yours in. I don't know what it's called. What is it?
The Rhino.
Is it actually?
It is called The Rhino.
Woohoo!
Yeah, actually, so you'd love it.
I wrote a short story / poem, sort of the way that some kids' stories do rhyme. I wrote one about an actual experience I had as a small child where I lost my favourite rhino.
Oh.
Toy rhino.
Oh, no.
This was a real story that happened, and I poured my heart and soul into writing this short story, and then I put it on like one of those fancy pants I'm an artist but not really websites.
Yeah.
And then completely forgot about it.
Now I think it's time to move into our next segment of the show. We've rebranded this segment of the show, haven't we, Maisie? This is normally where we give you a quiz question. However, this is now called Don't Google It!
We need a proper jingle.
We will get a proper jingle for that soon, but please, guys, we're playing a quiz. Do not Google it! That is the one rule. Take a stab in the dark and take a guess and see whether you can get it right. And our quiz question this week is based on what we've been talking about, things that would pass the time. Maisie mentioned earlier about how she used to have a Polly Pocket, and what we want to know is, what year did Polly Pockets first appear in stores?
Now, can I just say something very quickly? No one simply has one Polly Pocket.
No.
No, you have several Polly Pockets.
Okay.
Who all have their own outfits. And they all come with a different building, vehicle, or in one case, I had a Polly Pocket Christmas calendar.
Oh, right.
It was an advent calendar, but instead of chocolates, you got day number one was a doll,
yeah,
with an outfit already on, and then all of the subsequent days were outfits.
Yes.
For the doll to wear.
All right.
Instead of chocolate.
Oh,
which I thought was really clever.
That's a really, really cool idea, actually.
I loved it. I'd happily have that now. as a 20-year-old woman, I would so want a Polly Pocket advent calendar with new outfit every day.
So, get in touch with us, let us know. We want to know, what year did Polly Pockets first appear in stores? Get in touch with us in the many different ways. On Twitter, @SirenFM. On the email, studio@sirenonline.co.uk. Or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Carry on listening. The news is coming up very soon. But after that, we will be joined by the Lincoln Young Company and Eclipse by Simon Armitage. Stay tuned. And Maisie, I think it's time to go into the next song. You are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my host, Maisie Anderson. Host? Co-host.
Thank you very much.
We are co-hosting. Maisie Anderson are here with Squabblebox. We're going to be with you for the next 55 minutes or so, and we have two very special guests in the studio with us this morning. Live in the studio, we have Rob and Bronte from the Lincoln Young Company. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good.
I'm doing great, thank you.
Now, guys, you are part of the Lincoln Young Company. You have a performance coming up at the Curve Theatre in Leicester on the 7th of May. That is Simon Armitage's Eclipse. Yep. How excited are you to be doing this?
Oh, I'm buzzing now.
I'm really, really excited because this is our first time. This is my first time I'm going to be able to perform in an actual, like, real life theatre with, like, I'm not sure how to say it. It's like one of those massive big ones.
Yeah. They have a lot of attraction over the Leicester, and to be able to perform in a theatre such as that is a really great opportunity, especially because with students, to be able to perform on that stage, it's a really nice chance. Really.
Yeah.
Now, you've performed this already, haven't you?
Because yes.
You are the Lincoln Young Company. You have performed at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, which is here on the same campus as the Siren Studios. Mm. Mm. How did the performance go a few weeks, months ago?
We had three shows and they went very well. They went very well considering how we all felt, and we all felt a bit nervous and a bit iffy. We had the person from the National Theatre come to see us on the first night, but he seemed to thoroughly enjoy it, and he was a really nice bloke, wasn't he?
He gave us some really good advice, and we were able to take that back and be able to incorporate it into our own characters.
Yeah. They went really well, though. The shows, the audience were very supportive.
Definitely.
So it's a really nice chance to get to do the show again, really.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, let's learn a bit more about yourselves, because, Rob, I know you very well. We're both drama students on the same course, and we've done a lot of performances together. In fact, we just did a teaching drama module.
We
went and taught some Year 8 kids over at the Aston School.
Market Raisin
last week. This week, actually. I'm losing track of days. It's assessment period, guys.
No, it's nearly the summer. You don't need to worry about what day it is.
Bronte, tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 18 years old, and this is my first year, and I'm really happy to be a part of the Lincoln Young Company because they've given us, like, such an amazing script to work with, and they've been so supportive, and I'm hoping that next year I can be able to work with them because they are such a lovely cast and lovely crew to work with, and I've just enjoyed myself a lot being
I'm getting emotional.
Now, the Lincoln Young Company, I've heard about it for such a long period, being a drama student, of course. Mm. How long has that been going?
I think it's been going about 4 years now. Martin Horner-Glister, who's our director and has been our director for ages, he's brilliant. He was once a student at the University of Lincoln.
Ah, yes.
And he sort of came back to take on this project. And the first year, he actually won and managed to take it to London, to the National. So it's been going for a few years, and really everything he does is really to a good standard. It's really unique ideas.
His ideas are really, really good, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's really, really cool. So let's get into the rehearsal period. I know from being a drama student, it can be a stressful time. How have you guys found it? Rob, you are assistant director.
Yes.
How has the cast been? How has Bronte been?
Oh, Bronte's been great.
Oh, God.
The cast in general have been amazing. It's been really nice to work with people who are so engaging, who really get down with the script. It's great to not have to say every week, can you learn your lines, can you be off book? These guys have really engaged with the script, engaged with the characters. At least once a week I've had one of them come up to me and say, oh, could I try this for my character, could I try that? So it's been really nice to work with people who are just so enthusiastic and want to make the show as good as it can be.
Yeah.
And how have you found Rob Bronte as an assistant director?
Are you trying to get them to tell on each other?
I just like getting all the gossip. We did this, we had the Musical Theatre Society in a few weeks ago, and we were getting all the gossip off them. So, yeah. How have you found the whole rehearsal period?
It's been quite challenging because my character's quite an obscure character with no definite sort of any sort of summary or synopsis about her. And when I sort of approached her, I sort of felt, you know, maybe I should play her this way, but then again, I should play her this way. And because, you know, she's undefined, it could be open to many interpretations. And I think the one thing that helped me the most was the ideas that Rob gave me, especially the sort of influences from old classical books and classical plays as well, because some characters could sort of compare to her. And I think it was just like a blast sort of going through it and then trying this idea, like trying all these ideas out and then finding the one definite one that worked and being able to put that on stage and be able to get a really good response from audiences and from viewers. It was really, really, it was amazing.
So let's talk about the script. It is Eclipse by Simon Armitage. Myself and Maisie were talking about this earlier because Simon Armitage is from where born?
Vaguely. He's vaguely from where we grew up. And it was quite interesting because going through school, because we've been talking about, before the news, we were talking about childhood memories, things we used to do to pass the time. And while we were at school, we studied a lot of Simon Armitage because he hailed from our general area.
He went to. I know we've got listeners in Huddersfield. He went to Combe Valley High School.
Oh, okay.
So
which means so much to people listening in Huddersfield, not so much in the room as a whole. But we studied an awful lot of his poems, not so much his plays, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
The moment you said I was told that you were doing Simon Armitage, I actually got kind of excited.
Mm. So do you want to give us like a quick synopsis, not spoilers, but a quick synopsis of what the...
I already spoiled Game of Thrones this morning.
Oh, I did. I've never seen Game of Thrones, but we'll talk about that later.
if it helps, neither have I.
Yeah, brilliant. You can be on my team. but let's have a bit of a synopsis about the performance.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Simon Armitage is originally a poet, as you said.
Yep.
So we were quite surprised as well when we found out he was doing a play. He wrote this originally for when the National Theatre started 5 years ago. It's been running for 5 years, the actual project. It's the five-year anniversary this year.
Okay. Mm.
And usually what happens in the project is they get playwrights to write plays for them. Theatre companies like the LYC, the Lincoln Young Company, we come in and select a play and do it, and this happens all across the country.
Yeah.
But because it's the five-year anniversary, we're renewing past productions.
Okay.
So Simon Armitage's Eclipse is one that was a past production, so we're sort of bringing back his work in a way. And it personally, with the script, it's very challenging because there's a lot of poetry in there.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's called like a Shakespearean sort of
it's been compared
twist to
Shakespeare.
To it. Yeah, very. Yeah. It's got a lot of verse in it, but as soon as you like dig down and you sort of read along like amongst the lines, it's really beautiful. Very, very. Poetic,
The actual play itself, though, as a rough synopsis, I can tell you that it's about six friends who are interviewed by the police after the disappearance of Lucy Lyon, played by Bronte, who is a strange and unnerving girl. They meet her on the beaches of Cornwall just before the total eclipse of the sun, and it's what happens there.
I like that. Mysterious. That sounds very mysterious.
It's a very interesting play. It's a very interesting concept. And I know for a while in the rehearsal period, we were all very wrapping our heads around it.
We were trying to think about like how the ending would be.
Yeah.
And we had many different ideas for what each character would represent.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. Theories we came up with. There were many different ones that we came up with.
Now, I've just realised that it is part of the National Theatre Connections
when you said
that. I did the National Theatre Connections.
Here we go again.
Before I came to uni. I think I was in, like, high school I did it with my drama school theatre class thing. We did The Beauty Manifesto. Which is a really, really good play, and that's always been one of my favourite plays I've ever done, but it's a great opportunity, and hopefully you'll be able to get down to the National Theatre for it.
Fingers crossed. I mean, it's like, say, Martin has done it before, and I've personally, as assistant director, I put a lot of faith in him. I trust him completely, and I've learnt a lot from him as well, so it would be great to get back down there.
It would be brilliant.
It's quite a challenge because we've got many different companies all battling it out for this one place in the National. It's nerve-wracking, but it's fun. It's really fun. Getting stuck in.
Now, Bronte and Rob are going to be sticking around with us for a little bit longer. Remember, you can get in touch with us and let us know about our quiz question for today, which is we were talking about Polly Pockets, and we want to know what year was the first Polly Pocket, what year did it first appear in UK stores? You can get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Maisie, I think it's time to head into the next song. Stay tuned.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
You are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. It is 12:20 p.m. It's Friday. It's our final Friday show ever. We haven't mentioned this, Maisie.
No, we haven't mentioned it yet.
But we will mention it later on in the show anyway. But that's a little teaser for you. And we are still here with Rob and Bronte from the Lincoln Young Company. Now, guys, let's talk a bit about yourselves again. Bronte, you've mentioned you're a first-year drama student.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying it?
It's quite an experience, because when I first started off at the university, I was commuting because I was scared about actually joining the uni. But now that I've joined, I've been able to experience uni to its fullest. I've been able to have to use all the facilities and be able to gain the support from student union, and I feel a lot more comfortable and independent now. And it's quite good.
So your first year. So what do they do in first year, Rob? They do reading, performance.
Yeah, and we had to do improvising and devising, which was quite hard to do.
See, I love that I've always been in a third party to this, because I know so many drama students, but I'm not part of the course. So I get to watch it from far away and see the end product and then hear about all the drama that goes on during rehearsals.
So, and your second year drama student, yes. Rob, the courses that we've got coming up, you've still got site-specific coming up this week.
Site-specific, acting, song, it's great stuff. I've much preferred second year to first year personally. Yeah. Because
I can't wait for
choice. Second
year.
Honestly.
So I can't wait for it.
It just gets better and better. Yeah. And I think third year is going to be brilliant. Dissertation coming up.
So I love that you guys are nervous. You still have until the end of the summer to have your proposal written.
Yeah.
Your proposal is also about a third of mine. Yeah. And I have to do it by the second week of May.
Interesting.
So Maisie's got 2 weeks to do her dissertation. However, today we've been talking about the good old days. And so, guys, what were some of the things that you did in your childhood to pass the time? Bronte, I'll start with you.
To pass the time, I'd mostly be in my room, sort of singing or something or other, dancing around, playing with dolls, but mostly just good old singing and listening to good old tunes like my mum used to put on the radio, like Kate Bush or Cyndi Lauper, sometimes Mumford and Sons. And you know, I just enjoy having a good time singing with my mum.
Are you a musical singer?
I'm opting to go for musical.
I can
second
really
year.
Tell. You can just tell by someone's voice when they.
Well, you can. I can't. I'm so inept when it comes to music.
I used to always have the problem because I've obviously it's toned down a little bit since I've moved here, but I had a really, really thick Northern accent.
Yes, you did.
But I used to do musicals and show tunes and stuff like that as well. Rob, some of the things that you did to pass the time.
Well, I'm a big gamer, so I love playing games. I went from PS1, PS2, Xbox 360 because of the price. and then I sort of stayed true to Xbox One. So, yeah, I've always been a big gamer. I'd always come home after school, play some games, some Crash Bandicoot, Spyro.
Oh, I love them.
All the classics.
I was going to say, like, PS1, was it Crash Bandicoot, Spyro?
Crash Bandicoot. Even, like, the film games they make for, like, Harry Potter, I play those.
Tomb Raider was my favourite. I loved playing Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I had an argument with my nephew before I came to uni, so about 2 years ago, when because he was a big fan of Skylanders, which has obviously got a load of different characters in, and Spyro is one of those characters, and he kept telling me, oh, Spyro, he's one of the Skylanders.
Wasn't it, because you've told me this story before, wasn't it that he didn't even know his name was Spyro?
Yeah, and I was Spyro is his own franchise. I love all those retro games.
I was much more of a Zelda player as a kid, especially when the sort of slightly more cartoony versions of Link came out.
Yeah.
And for the handheld consoles, I always loved those.
Definitely.
See, I never personally, if I had played DS and Nintendo, I would always play Pokemon. I was always stick true to Pokemon.
I only just started Pokemon. My sister, it was one of those things where my older sister was really into it, so I felt like I couldn't be, because she hated it when I copied her. So I'd only recently got into Pokemon in the last year, and started with X and Y because it was customizable.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing. As long as I get to change my character's outfit, I'm happy.
I think as a kid, I got heavily addicted to The Sims 3. All the types of Sims you could be able to get. But I think the one that like hit home for me, or like was like a really good game I used to love playing, was Fable and the Fable franchise. And I used to absolutely adore it because it had Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
It had all these amazing celebrities. Mm. And I used to just spend hours playing the same story over and over again because it's like that. And Skyrim as well. Totally. I used to love getting wasting hours playing those games.
Oh, we've had a message in from Chris in Lincoln who says that when he was a child, he used to play a lot of family games like Monopoly.
I love Monopoly.
Hungry Hippos, Mousetrap, which often ended in family arguments.
I was about to say, me and my sister aren't allowed to play board games anymore. Even though we're both in our 20s, we're not allowed.
Have you got the sort of Ross and Monica relationship there?
it's more that...
Competitiveness.
It's more that my sister can either be a bad winner or a bad loser, but so can I. So it always tends to be one of us will start a tantrum, even now, when we're adults. So it just doesn't happen.
What was your guys' board game of choice then when you were playing as a child?
Blimey.
Takes me back.
Yeah. I would have to go with good old Monopoly. I love Monopoly. Mm. Me and my friend Zoe back home, we used to play it all the time over the summer. And we got so addicted to it, we just started analysing each other's strategies until it ended in bloodshed.
I'd have to agree, Monopoly was my favourite as well. I think there was most times where I was on holiday with my parents, and there was some days where it was raining and it was horrible, horrible weather out in France, and we'd just be in the caravan and we'd just be playing Monopoly, and next thing you know, my little brother would squabble and start screaming how he didn't have any money left, and then my brother would start throwing a tantrum because he didn't win. But, no,
sounds
it was
a lot like
great.
When me and my sister play Monopoly.
Yeah.
Although she admitted to me not quite recently that she used to always be the banker, and she said that it was because she was older, but in reality it was because she kept sneaking money out. So she was actually embezzling
whole time. When we play Monopoly, I always let Maisie be the banker.
Yeah, he lets me be the banker because I'm dyslexic and end up giving everybody the wrong amount of money when they pass go.
I was getting £350 every time I pass go.
No,
it was brilliant.
I don't know how I ended up doing that, though, because it's always been 200.
I've
You'd
got
think
no
it'd
idea.
Be simple enough.
I've got no idea. But guys, back to Eclipse, Simon Armitage. It's coming up. at the in Leicester, yeah, at the Curve Theatre. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 11 o'clock on the 7th of May.
11 o'clock in the morning, yep.
Really, really
means we have to leave on the minibus at 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 o'clock in the morning, so 6 a.m. start.
Yep.
But you know what? It's going to be great, and being
it's going to be totally worth it.
Being able to perform it, like, what theatres have you performed in before?
Personally, I've performed at the Pomegranate Theatre back home. I've performed in the Winding Wheel back home, the Haslam Theatre back home. Yeah. I've got quite a few repertoire. I was with LYC last year when we did Drama Baby, and we didn't go to Leicester last year. We actually went to the Crucible in Sheffield, so I got the opportunity to perform there as well.
Yeah. What about yourself?
I've been doing a lot of singing competitions and stuff, and a few of the times I've been doing it, I've been doing like a lot of school shows, and I haven't had an actual chance to go to the theatre, but I know that in my local area, there's the Boston Operatic Society, and we put on different shows such as Miracle on 34th Street, Chess, and another one which they've done, which is 9 to 5. And I've had a really good time spending time with them and having, like, you know, a little musical family to spend time with and be able to put on shows for people around the area. And yeah, it's good because we were able to do musicals and stuff, and it's just something I want to keep going and keep doing.
And next year, in second year, you're going to be able to perform in the auditorium for Shakespeare.
Great stuff.
I'm so excited for it.
Are you a big Shakespeare fan?
I think my absolute favourites would have to be The Tempest and A Midsummer Night's Dream. I cannot replace those two because it's all fantasy and romance and rom-com lovey-dovey stuff, and it's just something that I just find really, really, like, lovely.
I'm so glad to find someone else who really loves Shakespeare, because living with drama students throughout that period, there was nothing but people being hateful,
moaning
people
about it.
Moaning, and I was there like, but Macbeth is amazing, and getting really into it.
Yeah, so guys, the Curve Theatre, Leicester, they can get tickets from the Curve Theatre.
From the Curve Theatre online, yes.
Or online, and it's the 7th of May, 11 o'clock. Thank you very much for coming on the show, guys.
You're very
welcome.
We
wish you all the best success for this performance, Simon Armitage's Eclipse, and everything else that you do throughout your time here at university and beyond. And we will definitely be having you on the show sometime in the future, I'm sure.
Brilliant.
So, Maisie, I think it's time to head into another song. What are we going into?
We are going into... I actually can't find it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's my favourite as well. We are going into Stay by Sigma. We'll be right back after this.
Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. I'm Kai Valentine. I'm here with my co-host Maisie Anderson. We were just joined by Rob and Bronte from the Lincoln Young Company. A brilliant interview there, fantastic guests, and we wish them all the best for everything that they have got coming up. But now, Maisie, we have been asking everyone about the quiz question this week, which was, what year did Polly Pocket, the toy Polly Pocket, first appear in UK stores?
Yes, and not to be confused with the fact that Polly Pocket was made originally many years before it was in stores by a young girl's father.
Yes.
And his desire to make... He made a toy for her out of walnut shells.
Yep.
And with very, very tiny dolls, whereas now they're much bigger. They have interchangeable clothes. They have giant malls, which was actually one I had.
Yeah.
I actually had two Polly Pocket malls.
And this was this is part of our new rebranded segment called Don't Google It. And
I bet someone's Googled it.
And we're going to be revealing the answers later on in the show. So, Maisie, we're talking today about the good old days.
Yes.
And the things that we did and what you did at home when you were a child and to pass the time. So we've had a few more messages in. We've got a message in from our international listener. It's Justin from Ohio, who says OK, sorry, Maisie. I'm probably a lot like Kai, so yes, wrestling was a huge part of my childhood.
We nearly got through a whole show without you mentioning wrestling.
It's not me, it's Justin. He says, I didn't exactly collect figures like Kai did and does, but I did have a good amount of them. Wrestling was one of the top things I looked forward to every Saturday morning. One of the biggest aspects of it all was doing backyard wrestling with my friends on trampolines in my neighbourhood.
That's exactly like you.
That is exactly
like me. That's quite
scary. I've told the story before about how I got... I'll keep his last name out of there. I was on Robbie's trampoline and he hit me with a super kick and I went flying off the trampoline and into his rabbit run and I crushed his rabbit run.
Which we do not recommend here on Siren.
No, we do not at all. I was quite a... I was quite an overweight child.
Anything that Kai suggests from his childhood, we do not recommend on Siren. You had a very dangerous childhood.
Justin also mentioned some of the stuff a bit on the lines of what Rob was bringing up. He's a gamer as well. He used to play video games, Super Nintendo. He used to record things with his Talkboy tape recorder.
Ooh.
From the movie Home Alone 2.
Nice.
And he'd play a game of backyard football, American football. So he used to play that American rugby thing. and he says, speaking of which, last week I mentioned how the culture of both games of football are identical. Here's what I meant. I know the games themselves are quite opposites, but the fanfare for them is what I was referring to.
Okay.
I don't fully understand all the leagues of your football, but it is a sport that is heavily celebrated. It seems to be a sport where some of the most diehard fans come out of the woodwork for it. It is the sport of your country. That is what our football and country and makes. I've lost where I am in this sentence. Basically, what he's saying is that.
See, that was a really lovely thought out sentiment that you've just ruined now.
The NFL is the most popular sports league in the country and makes the most money, which also has the least amount of games. He says in some parts of our country, football is like a religion. High school, college, and or professional. We debate as to which version of the game is better, but no one can deny the passion we both have for our versions of football. I think that's a well said thing, and I wish
it was a well sentimented thing. It wasn't well said by you.
No, it wasn't. Yes, and you know what? I feel really bad now because I hadn't read that before I made the American rugby joke.
Oh dear.
Sorry, Justin. Keep listening because you know we like our international viewers here on Squabblebox on Siren FM.
Because we were just talking about gaming.
Yes.
And I know that you game it when you game. You're not into sort of the big mainstream gaming things. You're into sort of FIFA and stuff.
Well, I count that as a mainstream game.
Sorry, I don't mean mainstream. I mean heavy plotted.
No, I don't like. I'm not one of the. I've never completed a game. Like I used to play Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yes, which you've told us you've never completed.
Yeah, I never got past. I got to Bart's level, which is the second level, but never got anywhere further than that. I have now. Because we have it at home, at our house, and that's what I did last summer.
We played it all summer. It was great. And. What else did we play? It was
ski jumpers.
Snowboard.
Oh, yes.
It was SSF Tricky.
Yeah, SSF Tricky. That's a weird game as well, yeah.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about gaming because my parents are way more into gaming than I am.
Yeah.
Because they grew up when gaming was starting to develop more and more and more, so they had like the really early consoles where it was way more about the imagination you put into it. It was about sort of fancy graphics and stuff. Now, my mum and dad still game constantly, and I actually find that from watching my parents game as a very young child, I'm way more a spectator when it comes to gaming. And I don't really know why in particular, but I find that it's way more entertaining to watch someone play, which is probably one of the reasons why gaming videos are becoming very popular on the internet. I'd say they already are very popular on the internet. And for some reason, I just always find it more entertaining to watch someone of high skill play a game rather than myself, who I know is going to be of low skill and it will take me hours to do what they can do in, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And this is one of the interesting debates, because a lot of people think that esports, which is basically professional video game playing, is sort of lesser to actual sports. And in a sense, because they're then it's not as mainstream, and because it doesn't generate as much money as professional sports does. Why are you laughing at me like that?
I wouldn't count esports as a sport.
But it takes a great amount of skill to complete a game.
Yeah, that's true.
You,
and actually,
you were just saying.
That's the people who say that, like, there are some people who say that darts isn't a sport.
Exactly.
When actually it is. Yeah, that's a fair point.
This is the thing. When it comes to sort of gaming online, a lot of people, there's a little bit of stigma still, especially from mainstream platforms, saying that, oh, why would you watch someone else play a game? Just play it yourself. And it's the same as saying, well, why do you watch football?
Yes.
Because you could say the exact same thing, that it's just you're just watching someone else of more skill play a game and someone commentating on it. It's the exact same thing. It's the only difference is that the person who's commentating is also the one playing the game.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That is a fair point. Now,
I don't know how I got off on that tangent.
I don't know either, Maisie. That's what happens here on Squawlbox. We just go off on tangents, and we sort of have a sort of main topic for the show, but then it just goes off in completely
different... We need another jingle
different...
of Maisie's Tangent of the Week.
Yeah, we're going to have to get loads of jingles over the summer period. Now, we've had another message in from Fran in Lincoln. Hi, Fran. She says that I played teachers... When I was a child, I used to play teachers with hankies, chairs, old notebooks, anything I could get hold of. She says that she's agreeing with Becky earlier, who says, as an only child, she had a huge imagination. She says, oh, and I used to watch Thomas the Tank Engine on repeat and drive my mother and granddad up the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I find that I do feel like I'm quite lucky that I had an older sister to play with, but at the same time, not so much, because this is a story that my family find hilarious. Somehow, some way, my sister managed to win at playing Barbies. a game of the imagination where the story is all about what you make it. My sister's ended up winning every time. A game that where there was no competition. Basically, what happened was every time we were playing, like, I would say, like, my Barbie's a princess, hers would be the queen.
Yeah.
If our Barbies were doing a beauty pageant or a contest, mine would come second. Hers would come first.
That's what older kids do, though. The older
sibling. Older siblings
I am
like
the
that.
Older sibling. I used to get my sister to play. Right, this is a true story.
Is this going
to
be appropriate?
No, I've got a wrestling board game, a WWE board game that I used to get my sister to play with me, and it was all about wrestling knowledge and trivia.
Oh dear.
And I used to get her to play it with me just so I could win.
Oh, you were one of those kids.
Yeah, I was a really, really... But, and to be honest, I don't think I ever cheated at games, but I don't think I was ever a sore loser, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I did like playing that with Alicia because it meant I won.
Yeah, my sister refuses to play Cluedo with me and my aunt.
Yeah.
Me and my aunt Margaret are pretty good at Cluedo, to the point where my sister refuses to play with us. But the thing is, me and my aunt are the only people in our family that will play it. But of course, it's a game where you need at least three people, so she normally forces her fiancé to play with us.
Now, it's time to go into one more song for the morning, afternoon. I'm losing track of the time.
You're losing track of your
like
words,
say,
of the time.
Assessment
you are,
period,
you
ladies
are
and gentlemen.
So ready for the summer.
I'm really ready for my exams to be out of the way. Now, Maisie, we're going to head into another song now. Stay tuned, we'll be revealing the quiz answers and who won right after this.
This is Siren 107.3 FM.
You are listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. We're rounding off our show now. However, it is time to announce the winner of the quiz. For those who didn't hear, the quiz question this week was, what year did the Polly Pocket toys first appear in UK stores? Maisie, do you know the date?
I don't know the year.
Do you want to take a guess?
I'm going to take just a general guess. I think they were definitely around when my mum was a kid.
Yes.
You don't know how old my mum is, do you?
I'm going
to say about 75.
No, that is wrong, Maisie.
See, if it turns out to be like the 60s now, my mum is going to be very offended.
No, I you know what, I think your mum will be very, very happy.
Flattered
with your answer, because the answer is 1989.
Really?
Yes, that is the first time that they hit stores.
But my mum can remember them, having them.
Maybe.
But she would have been a teenager by then.
Maybe she had them as a teenager, but yeah, it was 1989 that they first hit stores.
Oh,
maybe she was mates with the guy that...
Did they come out in America first?
No.
Okay. That's really weird.
Yeah. 1989.
I'm very surprised by that.
And the winner of the quiz is...
We need a drum roll sound effect.
Drum roll sound effect. Lynn from Huddersfield. Congratulations, Lynn, for winning the Don't Google It quiz. Remember, guys, the one thing we ask is, please don't Google it. Now, we are rounding off today's show. We've been talking about the good old days and the things that you enjoyed doing and to spend your time doing in your childhood to pass the time. One more that we've had sent in from Gary in Huddersfield comes in and says that we used to play out all the time in the woods, or we went into the school fields and one of the parents took all the kids off the street to play rounders or cricket.
Oh,
that's quite a cool idea.
Yeah,
we used to sneak onto our school fields because it was a really good pitch and they had actual goalposts.
Yeah, my school field was too far away to really sneak onto.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't worth the 40-minute walk.
Yeah,
but yeah, I did play outside as much as I could when I was very young.
Mm.
But because I was the younger sister, I had to go out with my sister.
Of course.
And then by the time I was old enough to go out by myself, the cool thing to do was like MSN stuff.
Yeah.
So I did that. So I just talked to my friends online instead.
Yeah. There's one more thing that I want to touch on before we go. And
okay.
It's a game that I used to play at school. I'm sure everyone used to play at school. Conkers.
Now, I have got very fond memories of Conkers and the sort of the time of year when you would go out and get them.
Yes.
And, like, collect them. However, I only played Conkers a couple of times one summer. And
yeah.
The reason I stopped was because I was bad at it. And I didn't like that everyone I played with was winning.
My Uncle Andy used to have a big tree outside of his house. I think it fell down one year. But it had loads of Conkers on. And it fell down one year. And we went and collected all the Conkers.
Yeah.
Because they were all there on the floor.
See,
and we're like, oh, that's really, really easy. But my mate had my mate Sam, he had a giant Conker. And
yeah.
I don't know where he got it from, but he won every time they were playing the game. And I'm sure that his dad put it in the oven for a little bit to make it harder, because that's what you used to be able to...
My dad used to put clear nail polish varnish on his.
Yeah. It became more of a competition about whose dad was better at Conkers than
it really
the actual
was.
Kids. It was a competition between
like,
the dads.
My dad, when I was really little, when my sister was little, he would always take us to Greenhead Park, which is a really well-known park in the Huddersfield area.
Yes.
And there were so many Conker trees, and we would go collect it. He'd take us with little bags, and we'd go collect them all. And my mum, to her credit, still has a bowl full of Conkers, the polished ones. They polish, they get dusted, and they're just a nice little ornament to have.
Yeah,
they actually look quite nice because we've got quite a lot of wood furniture, so it kind of all ties in together.
I think we need to have a Conkers game when they start falling in autumn. Yeah, but then again, you know what the weather's like round here. We might get Conkers in June. But it's time to it's time to round off today's show, and we do have an announcement to make. We touched on it slightly earlier. However, this is our final show on a Friday here on Siren FM.
For the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable future. We are moving into our summer slots, and we will be on Mondays, 11 to 1pm, and on Thursdays, 11am to 1pm. Two shows a week, both 2 hours. That's 4 hours of Squabblebox a week.
Woohoo!
Just remember, we won't be on Monday, this Monday, upcoming Monday, because of the bank holiday, but we will be back next Thursday, 11am to 1pm. So stay tuned for everything here on Siren FM. Some fantastic shows coming up throughout the day and throughout the rest of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll see you all right back here next week.
See you Thursday.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my...
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Squabblebox. We really, really appreciate your support. Another thing we really appreciate is our second home right here on the DSJMP network. And you can find all the other great shows here on DSJMP by going to www.dsjmp.com or searching for them on iTunes, where you can find some fantastic shows like the European Uppercut Podcast, the Rasslecast, 10 to 1, the Tuts Experience, and of course, Squabblebox. Thank you for downloading. Make sure you check out everything else on Siren FM and the DSJMP network. And we'll see you all right back here next week.